I think the last time that I preached for you, it may be true that everyone was wearing a mask, and so it was tough to preach looking out at maskless faces. So it's such a delight to be able to look out and preach and see your smiles and to your encouragements. And also it's good to have those that may be watching online, and may the Lord bring a word of encouragement and comfort to you as we look at his word this evening. I'd like you to turn back in your Bible to Psalm chapter 91 this evening. Psalm chapter 91. I know we have the business meeting following. I don't intend to preach a very long message. At least I don't think so. I don't think maybe I've ever preached here a long message. So, but I do want us to get into the word of the Lord and to learn from him this evening. And my prayer is that he would bring help to you to trust in him. So our psalm is Psalm 91. And my hope is at least to cover in some way verses maybe 1 through 10 together. So let's pray, and then we'll come to the Word of God. Our Father, you have been so good and faithful to us through the years and through the decades that from this pulpit, the Word of God has gone forward with unction and with boldness and with the help of heaven. And we ask this evening, our Father, that you would bring again your Word to our hearts. To some struggling believer this evening, that they may be given help from heaven, and that someone lost in their sins may be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ even this evening. We pray it all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. If I were to say to you, "Where do you dwell?" Well, that might sound just a little funny. Don't think we go around saying to people, "Hey, where do you dwell?" But if I were to say to you, "Where do you live?" Well, you've heard that question before. And I know I've asked it before, and you've probably asked it before as well. In fact, when I'm ever asked, "Where do I live?" I usually say, "I live in Graham." And those of us from Graham, which are a few of us, that's where we come from. For some people, though, they don't have a clue where Graham is. Lori and I have been in a lot of different places, and I'll say, "Well, I'm from Graham." Most of the time, they'll look at us with a puzzled face, and so then Lori will chime in, "Well, it's near Burlington." And then if that doesn't help, then I'll give the clincher, and I'll say, "Well, we're near Raleigh." And most people, at least the out-of-state, or some of the students at least, if I say, "Well, we're near Raleigh," they kind of get it. But what's the idea when I say, "Where do you live?" Well, the idea there is it's not that I've visited Graham. It's not that it's even a place that I like to go a lot, like the beach or Boone, North Carolina. But the idea that it's the place where I have permanency. It's the place where I dwell. It's the place where my house is. It's where I've been for 16 years with my four children and with my wife and with my family. And sorry, Nate, not with a dog. We live on 2421 Chartwell Lane. That's where I live. That's where I dwell. And tonight, the topic of our message is dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. That's the topic of our message, dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. And so where we live also applies to us in the spiritual realm. In Psalm 91, the idea that's being applied is to us spiritually. It's asking us the question, where do we live spiritually? Okay? And so ask yourself this evening, tonight, in your thoughts, in your times before bed, in your times in the car, maybe on the way to work or on the way to class, in your secret thoughts, where do you live? Because we live somewhere. There's some place where we live. It's not nowhere. There's some place where we really do live. And if you're a child of God in Christ this evening, there's a place where you live. There's a place where you dwell, and that's in the presence of God. That's in communion with Him. Because you have a new relationship in Jesus Christ. Old things have been passed away, and now there are new things in your life. You abide in Jesus Christ, and He abides in you, and it's a mystical, it's a personal, it's an amazing relationship that you have. And so as we come to Psalm 91 this evening, that's what the psalmist wants us to think about dwelling in Christ, about living in Him, about receiving and having fellowship with Him. And I pray that as we look into this psalm, or at least we start looking into this psalm, that it'll be a great help to you and encouragement. If you think about outlines can kind of be challenging as you come to texts of Scripture. Spurgeon has a really helpful outline of this text if you're using Treasury of David, and I just want to run through it here real quickly for you, for those of you note takers who might want to get it down. He uses the outline, the state of the godly, their safety, habitation, servants, and friend. Okay? The state of the godly, safety, habitation, servants, and their friends. And that seemed like a pretty good outline, at least initially. And I think it's even the headings maybe in the Old King James. I'm not sure. But as I kept looking at the psalm a little bit more and doing more study, I decided to use a different outline. But I felt like I was pretty safe because Albert Barnes and Sinclair Ferguson used generally this outline. And so I thought I'd follow their example. And that's because the psalm, if you were to really get into it, is broken down by the different speakers that are in the psalm. And so it could be that as this psalm was being sung, different choirs would sing different parts as a way of getting the emphasis of what each of the parts of the psalm were getting at. Does that make sense? So maybe this group would sing maybe verse 1, and then this group over here would sing verse 2, and then the group in the back would sing verse 3 through 13, and then the group back there would sing maybe verses 14 through 16. And as each group sang their piece, we would get in a very meaningful way what the emphasis was. Okay, because this is a song, this is a poem that's been put to music. It's wisdom poetry. So as I divided up the psalm, and with the help of others, I used the following. First, a general statement of trust, or a general statement of God's care. Two, a personal statement of trust. And then three, some statements to encourage friends, or to encourage a friend. And then four, God's statements to strengthen us. Okay, so you see the different speakers. You have a general statement. You have the psalmist's personal statement. You have the psalmist speaking to others, to this one in particular. And then we have God speaking, which is at the end of the psalm, verses 14 and following. Well, like I said, I don't intend to go through the whole psalm or all those parts, but I wanted you just to see the different speakers that are in the psalm. All right, let's for a little while then move to the first point and look at a general statement of trust, or a general statement of God's care in verse 1. And so look at verse 1, if you will, with me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And as we look at this verse, let's try to look at three things together, okay? Let's try to look at what it means to dwell in the shelter or the secret place. Let's try to look at what the word shadow means. And then let's try to take some time to look at the names of God. So we're going to look at the dwelling, the shadow, and the names. Now, what I mean here is this, that the statement of fact is being made by the psalmist. The psalmist is just declaring a statement that's true as he begins this psalm. He's not talking necessarily about any one individual, but what the writer is doing is making the point that those who dwell, or those who live with the Lord or know the Lord, they enjoy the shade of His protection, His love, His care, because they fear and because they know Him. They have a relationship with the Lord. And so the psalmist is simply stating what's true. It's not debatable. It's not up for question. It's not up for arguing, if you will. You know, like as parents, sometimes we bring up something at the table to our family, and then there's this person who has this opinion and this person who has that opinion. It's not like that. It's just a statement. This is the way it is. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, let's look at the word shelter, or dwells in the shelter. Now, for some of us tonight, when you see the words dwells in the shelter, it doesn't quite sound familiar to you. But for those of you in the congregation, and maybe those of you who are listening or watching online, who've heard this passage of Scripture from a child, you might know it better as the secret place. You may remember, as even as a child, memorizing it like this: He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And I have to admit, as I've tried to memorize the psalm and trying to move from a secret place to shelter, I keep going back to the word secret place. And if you begin to look at the Hebrew words, you find that maybe secret place is maybe a little stronger of a translation than dwelling really is. So what does this mean, to dwell in the shelter? Well, the Hebrew word that's being used here is the word sether, and it means a covering, or it means a hiding place. Psalm 119 verse 14 says, "You are my hiding place." And so the idea is of a covering, like the covering of a mountain or the side of a mountain. You might think of it as a hiding place, such as in Psalm 18 verse 12. 1 Samuel 19 verse 2, if you were to look it up, says this: Jonathan says to David, "Stay in the secret place and hide yourself." Psalm 119 verse 15 talks about the secret place of the womb, where I was fearfully and wonderfully made. So the idea is that of secrecy, or hidden away, or not where it can be easily seen. There are a number of scriptures that you could look to emphasize this point. Listen to these three familiar scriptures that are kind of like triplets that emphasize the same meaning. And you can look them up with me as I'm reading them as well. Psalm 27 verse 5, "He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me up on a high rock." Psalm 31 verse 20, "In the cover of your presence you hide me from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues." So you see how the person, they're hidden away, they're completely sheltered, but they're and completely protected, but they're also away from this trouble. Psalm 32 verse 7 says, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." Let me try to help you out then with this idea of a secret place, or a hiding place, or a sheltered place, by using an illustration. So we've looked at the Hebrew words. I've tried to give you some scriptures. Let's try with an illustration. When I was on a kayaking trip not so long ago, I was kayaking down the river, and as I looked over at my kayaking trip, I saw a number of different rocks and an area over to the side. And as I looked over in that area, I realized that it wasn't just a group of rocks that kind of raised up higher and higher, but that was actually like a place that was pushed in, where someone could go into that area and they could be protected. They would be secret. In fact, if you didn't really notice it, if you were just heading down the river, you know, kayaking along, you wouldn't be able to really recognize it. You'd have to get up really close, but you could hide in there, and you would be kept safe. You would be sheltered away, but then you would also be secret from any that might be coming along. And so that's the idea of the word here this evening: a place that would be safe, a place where rain and wind and difficulty would keep you. And so the idea tonight, dear ones, is that as the believer is with the Lord, and he or she is safely protected and in the care and in the special place of the Lord, where they can know that the winds and the storms and the troubles will not overwhelm them or harm them. Spurgeon goes so far to say that even the sea has a bit in its mouth when the believer is on a ship. Did you get that? Even the sea is under the control and the power of God. The second word that's used in this text is the word shadow. The word shadow. So before we had that the Lord is our hiding place, but here we have that He's our shadow. And the idea of shadow, everyone, is the idea of His protection or His influence to help, or Him, or of Him overshadowing us, coming upon us, so that nothing can harm us, or that things that come upon us have to come through His, through Himself, through His person. And there are a number of different scriptures that talk about the idea of shadow or protection, such as Judges chapter 9, verse 15, and a number of different other ones where the idea is talking about that the Lord is protecting us. He's putting His presence over us so that we will not be harmed, so that we will not be hurt. And so here we dwell, we come before Him, this picture word of being in this secret place and being in this aspect of His shelter, of His care, so that we're not under harm, we're not under duress, but we're safe from the difficulties that are upon us. And then, if you want to think further, the third thing that the Lord does here is that He gives us His names. He gives us the names of Himself to show us just how strong He really is as God, just how firm that protection, just how powerful the shadow really is upon us. Because if you don't tie the image with the names of God, it doesn't have the power to it that He's trying to communicate to us, this secure statement of the way things really are, even when we don't perceive them to be that way. The way we can be, that we can know that God is caring for us and taking care of us in His mighty care. Notice the two words. The first word is Most High, which is the word Elyon. And that means that God is the loftiest. God is the supreme one. He's the one who's the ruler of the universe. I don't have enough words this evening to describe the greatness, to unpack the fact that God is Most High. But the psalmist is telling us that He who dwells in this shelter, He who's in this place, which is really not a place, but it's a person, is with the one who's the controller of everything. And so you can see tonight how that if we reckon with that, how that we reckon that we're so connected to this one, how our difficulties and how our troubles can begin to get sorted out as we think about our God. And the second word that's used for God is that God is the Almighty. That is, He's the El Shaddai. He has all might and power. He's the one who's created all things. He's the one who's made all things. He's the one who sent His Son to be our Savior. Therefore, He's the one that this shadow is over us. And that's what happens. That's what happens to us, isn't it? In our troubles and in our sorrows, we don't reckon, we're struggling. I'm not really beating you up for it because I have it too. We're struggling with the fact that shadow, we don't see that shadow. We don't reckon that the Almighty is the one putting that shadow over our lives and in our troubles and in our sorrows and in our distresses. It's that shadow that's right over us. And so we get worried and we get confused and we get discouraged, don't we? But the psalmist is telling us here that God is great in power, His incomprehensibleness, the magnitude of His greatness, that over all of our troubles and all of our fears and over all creation and over the devil and over death and over sin and over everything, which He's going to make real clear in the rest of the psalm. He's going to really go through some challenging things. That we have His presence, that we have His shadow over everything. So the simple way of saying it, dear ones, tonight is that everything that comes our way, and it will come our way, many things, it's coming through Him. It's coming through the Almighty. And so we can We can take a deep breath. We can be secure because we're in the Almighty. This is the secret place of strength. This is the safe. This is the secure place because we're hidden in Him. And no one is stronger or more mighty than Him. This is the safety that we need tonight. And so, dear believer, you are safe in the Lord tonight. You're safe even with the cares and even with the troubles and even with the difficulties and with the sicknesses and with the confusion. You're safe in the Almighty tonight. You're still safe. You're still safe. And so say that to your soul. My God is Almighty. And you may need this medicine of the Word right now. And you're here in the house of the Lord with the people of the Lord. And you look around and you begin to see some of the brothers and sisters, and you know the trials and the troubles that they face, and yet they're standing, they're pressing on, or they're crawling on, or they're moving one little bit along. It's because of the Lord, because He's mighty, because His shadow is over everything that we're doing. And so you can dwell safely in His presence. Be encouraged, dear weary and downcast soul. It is here that you can say, my Father's care is round me there. He holds me so I cannot fall, and so to Him I leave it all. I wanted to speak to you, boys and girls, who trust in the Lord tonight, and maybe who are watching online. You boys and girls, you children who trust in Christ, God can be trusted in all that He does and in all that He says. And so you can give to Him your fears. You can pray to the Lord and tell Him your fears, and He will help you. Remember the song sometimes that you learn in Sunday school? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. So trust Him. You see, children, trusting in the Lord isn't for us grown-ups or us big people. It's for you too. And you have fears. And you have troubles. And you have things in your life that you don't understand. That are very confusing sometimes. Sometimes God doesn't even let you know why. Like He did with Job. You've learned about Job. Let's all go over together and take a look at John chapter 10, verse 27. As I was studying this text, John 10, verse 27 came back to my heart and to my mind again. And I was hoping that it would help you. Sorry. John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Okay? I give them eternal life. If you're a child of God, you have eternal life. You're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. And they will never perish. Okay. And then the Lord says this, no one will snatch them out of my hand. And maybe that's what you needed to hear tonight. No one's going to snatch you out of the hand of the Lord. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I remember it being told to me, I think, by my dad. It's like if I had a penny in my hand, or maybe it was my grandfather. I had a penny in my hand, and I went like this. And then I took the other hand, and I did like this. And then someone tried to take that penny out. It'd be tough, right? Because I've got a grip on it. But then how much more, that silly little illustration, but how much more are we in the grip of God if we're in Christ this evening? Maybe you need Romans chapter 8, verse 36. Maybe you need Romans 8, verse 36. Beginning with verse 35, really. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? It sure does seem like it sometimes, doesn't it? But it's not true. Because we've got this statement of fact that the psalmist has been telling us. How about distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, That's what we needed to hear tonight. No, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So these words speak to us, as believers, security. They speak to us hope and help. But then the next thing that the psalmist does, and so go back to Psalm 91, is that he makes a personal statement of trust in God. In other words, what the psalmist does is he sees this statement, or he makes this statement, and then he applies it to himself. He reads of what it should be, and then he says, that's what I want to be. That's how I want it to be applied in my life. I believe it is true. And so he makes it to himself in this prayer song. The first thing he says in verse 2 is this: I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. As the psalmist begins to pray, he tells the Lord that He's his refuge and his fortress. And that just means that the Lord is the place from rain and danger in a storm. When heavy rains are coming down, as it were, that the Lord is the one who is the refuge and help of His people. And that word refuge is one that you can study throughout the Psalms, such as Psalm 14:6 and 46:2 and 61:4 and 94:22 and so many others, that the Lord is the one who can be your refuge. And so the picture here is of a drenching rain coming down. Now, I know some of you young people, especially, like to go out and get drenched in the rain. Get a bad rainstorm, at least in our house. Everybody's like, let's run out and get just drenched in the rain and get as soaked as we possibly can, right? As long as it's not lightning, mom's usually okay with that, right? And so the rain begins to come. It's just drenching on us. And the idea of the word is that rain's drenching us, and we go and we hide in a hiding place. And that's what we had, I think, on Friday evening. We had a drenching rain. It just kept coming down. It just kept coming down. And we couldn't. It went on for quite some time. And the psalmist is saying that the Lord is the hiding place for us, where we go away, and we're in that safe spot, and we're not being drenched by the rain. But is there someone here tonight who's listening to me? Maybe they're on the internet, or maybe they're here, and that's your condition. Except you're not a Christian. You don't know the shadow of the protection of the Lord. You don't have a relationship with God. And you're just being drenched and soaked by the weight of your sins, by your trouble. And you're just frantically searching for a refuge. And it's like the weight of the rain and of the situation that you're around and the trouble maybe that you're in, it's just coming upon you, and there's nothing that you can do. The Apostle Paul had this experience. He said that before the law came, when the law came, sin revived and I died. And so it's just this drenching control and overwhelmed nature of sin. And you just can't ignore it, and you don't know what to do with it. And you're just like falling down in the mud and in the muck of sin, just moved all around looking for someone who can be a refuge for you. Someone in whom you can rely. Someone in whom you can find peace. And all you can see is just again and again your sin. Just another fall. Just another overcoming of sin, so that it's reigning over you. It has dominion over you. And all you can do is just say yes to it again. Yes to sin. There it goes again. There's sin in your heart and in your life. But there is one refuge, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came into the world to save sinners just like you. Look to Christ this evening. He is the refuge. He is the shelter. He says, come to me and believe on me and confess your sins. He's the only refuge of your soul. And for some of you tonight, as you're wallowing around in this sin with the, as it were, this heavy rain falling, He's just so close. He's just right near to you. He reaches out His hand to you. And all you need to do is just let go, as it were, that fist by faith. And He will grab you up and He'll pull you up and cause you to stand and bring you to Himself and put His robe upon you and bring you into the Father's house, bring you into the place of safety and shelter. And then you'll never be controlled by sin again. It will never have that domination. He breaks that power. And I so long for someone tonight to let go of control, as it were, and ask Christ to come into your life, to say, Lord, I'm tired of this fight with sin. It's winning again and again. Please save me. I'm done. I quit with it. At least I want to quit with it. I believe this desire that you're working in my heart is from you. Please save me. And He says that the one who calls to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Even the faintest cry out to Christ this evening, and you will be saved. Believer, tonight, may these be the cries of your heart as well. Oh Lord, you're my refuge. Oh Lord, you're my fortress. Oh Lord, you're my God. I trust in you. The troubles are tough. The days can be long. The nights can be really long. But you're still my refuge. You're still my fortress. You're still my God. I trust in you. And so you can feel, can't you, the intensity of the psalmist. How he is using this poetry to make clear the deep desires of his heart towards God. As he speaks, as the Holy Spirit gives us these words, as he communicates the security that he knows in Christ. You see, you can't say this about anyone who can't do it, who isn't able to do it, who can only try to do it. But Jesus has proven himself, God has proven himself that he is just the things that the psalmist says he is. That he is the Lord, that he is a refuge, a hiding place, that he is a fortress where we can go up to and be safe, that he is our God, that he is the one who can be trusted. Jesus has proven himself. He's proven himself over and over. Think about his temptation with Satan. Think how he went to Gethsemane and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And then think about how he went to Calvary. He's proven himself. Go to him, dear believer, and trust in him and say to him, Lord, you're my refuge tonight. I need you to revive that within me. I need you to revive within me that I trust in you. I come to you, Lord Jesus, by faith. Whether we're saved or whether we're not saved tonight, we all need to come to the Lord and take refuge in the shelter, in the secret place of his wings and of his presence. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bring it home to our hearts, that we would trust it. For any Lord here, or in the sound of my voice, who may not know Christ as their Savior, may they be saved. And then, our Father, we ask that for us as your people, we would hide ourselves in the shelter of your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.